3 years ago, we, I think it was three, changed the name of the church. And not everybody was happy about that, I understand. One of the reasons we changed, or the major reason we changed the name of the church.
To Olive Grove Church?
To Olive Grove Church. Was so that we would remind ourselves on a regular basis of our purpose. And our purpose, one element of our purpose statement is that we exist so that we might share the gospel with everybody in this community. Everybody in Nuevo needs to hear and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to respond to that positively or negatively. We see that as our responsibility as a church in this community. God has placed us here for that purpose. The way that God has orchestrated for that to happen from the very beginning is that disciples, followers of Jesus, would make disciples. And so we've been talking about the disciple-making pathway here at the church for the last year, that we need to become disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And in fact, we could probably trace our lineage all the way back to the day of Pentecost if we just kind of traced it back to a disciple who made a disciple who made a disciple who finally made me into a disciple of Christ. That there was a faithfulness that goes all the way back, and that's the pattern. So we've been emphasizing that individual process of multiplication. Disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And then we talk about how that's expanding, that the gospel is not just for our town, we need to be involved in the global mission of Christ. So it kind of expands out from that individual process. So you're supposed to be praying for neighbors, for friends, for relatives, those five spheres where you touch people. We need you to pray for those people and ask God, how do I become a part of this process with the people that you place me in contact with? And then what we want to do is, in this context, the church context, is reproduce growth groups. So the groups are intended for disciples to come together for fellowship, for encouragement, for discipleship, and for growth. So we want to, it's also an opportunity to pull people into a smaller context. And we want those groups to multiply so that they are groups that produce groups. So we go from the individual level to the small group level, and then we exist here in the larger body. And we also think that the larger body should duplicate, that churches should plant churches. And so we've been talking about that as part of what we would like to do. And we've been tilling the soil and trying to prepare and get things going so that we can continue to move in that direction. And so we've spent the year talking about discipleship. We've got three growth groups starting and a couple more in the pipeline. We want you to be involved in the growth group. And on a bigger scale, we've been thinking about how in the world can we start planting churches? Because not only do we feel like we're responsible for this area in Nuevo and for the youth of God around this church, but we also feel God's put us here for a purpose in terms of looking at the landscape, the harvest that's beyond us, into, if this is our Jerusalem and Judea, into our Samaria next door. And along those lines, I've been thinking, we've been praying, Dan and I have been talking a lot, the elders have been talking a lot about how that works. How do we go about that? How do we make that happen? What are the steps that are going to come about for us to make that happen? And stuff's been part of our thinking as well. Back in August, while I was on vacation, I do as I normally do on vacation. I try to visit churches. I don't get a chance to visit the churches as often. I'm stuck with my job. So on vacation, I like to do that. I'll just kind of do different kinds of church shopping or church visiting. And this last August, I decided I'm going to try and find a church in Paris, our neighboring town, our Samaria. And it's not easy. And I stumbled across a church by the name of Reflections Christian Fellowship. They meet in a school in May Ranch area, right there off of Evans. I think it's May Ranch Elementary School. And so I walked into that church on a Sunday morning in August. And it brought back a flood of memories for me. Because I don't know if you know this, before I came to Nuevo, I was a pastor in Anaheim Hills in a small church that didn't have a building, we had a school, and then a hotel. And at the time, my heart went back in time. As did my emotions. And I just, all of the things that go on when you're trying to start a church. We should have gone away for service. That's how it works. First service, you get all that stuff out, and second service, you're a rock. My heart went out to Pastor Dom, and I just looked at him and I said, man, this is what we used to do every week. Every week, we have to set everything up. Every week, you know, there's no sense of ownership. You can't decorate the church. Everything is just a struggle. And so my heart went out to him, especially from the standpoint of maybe what you might not experience or understand is the isolation and the sense of loneliness that you feel as a pastor in that context. And so I just felt, man, this is a God moment. This is something we've been talking about. This is something that's happening here. And so it's just this new aha moment for me. So after the service, I went up and gave Don my card and said, hey, I'm meeting on Thursday morning with a group of guys. I'd love to have you come. And he blew me off. So, I got plenty to do. I don't have time for you, bud. Thanks for coming. And then he showed up. He called me and said, you still meeting? I said, yeah, come and join us. And so we've been meeting since early September on a regular basis. And those 5 months have been fascinating to see just what God has been doing. So we've been talking together about how we can help. I just said, hey, we just want to help you. We want to support you. I don't want you to feel alone. So we've done a lot of things, kind of behind the scenes, just very simple things. Like we sent some people over to help with their worship team a couple Sundays. Don brought 3 Thanksgiving meals over to us so that we could share those with people in need. If you drive by on Thursday nights and you see the lights on here, the Reflections worship team meets here now instead of at the RV park down there on Ramona Expressway where they were practicing outside. So they meet here now, and they love you. Because this is a great place for them to come. They just enjoyed that. And we've talked more about, God's doing something. It doesn't have to be about all of Grove Church doing something. It's that God's already ahead of us, all of this stuff. And it's like, that was the aha moment. It's like, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I just kind of figure out what God's doing and jump on board with what God's doing and join and support and help. And so those conversations have been going on for a while with Don and myself and Dan. And we've talked more about what it means to be a partner, what it means to be So we kind of started those early conversations. We don't really quite know where it's going to go and how it's going to flesh out, but we want to continue the relationship. So we thought it would be good if you met Pastor Don from Reflections Christian Fellowship in Paris. He's here with us today. And Dan to Reflections. Mm-hmm. So Dan is probably standing up in the pulpit right now over in Paris, and Don's here with us. And I asked Don a couple questions kind of start out. He's going to tell us who he is, why Reflections, why church planting, and then he's got a message for us. And so I'm really, really thankful that he's here. I'm excited that he's here. I've already heard the sermon once, so I'm excited for you to hear it. Just been a blessing to have a relationship and see what God's going to do. Love you.
Well, thank you, first of all, for allowing me to be here. I'll tell you, this is an absolute honor and privilege to be here in Nuevo and here in Olive Grove, so thank you for having me. Steve asked me to give you kind of a little bit of a brief history about how Reflections came to pass, and yes, it was definitely a God moment. I'm not a lifer. I haven't been in church ministry all my life. I've never served as a deacon or an elder, never held a church position, never been a pastor. And all of a sudden, I was a businessman. That's what I did. I owned my own business for many, many, many years. Matter of fact, I've been out here in the city of Nuevo many times because I did land development. And I actually was the one that negotiated contracts with different developers to build residential communities and commercial communities. So I knew the city of Nuevo. But about 5 years ago, everything was going great. I was a Bible teacher, and I enjoyed teaching Bible studies. And during the time back around 2008 to 2011, I was teaching about 4 to 5 Bible studies a week. I would go to different businesses and just sit and teach the word to real estate offices, mortgage companies, different places that wanted to hear the word of God. And I enjoyed that. I had a flexible job. I could, you know, do my land business, and then I could teach the word. Well, you know, it's funny. When God says, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your future plans, because his plans and my plans were not exactly the same. Something was put into my heart that God wanted me to start a church. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, Lord? I've never even been involved in a church plant. I have never been involved in church leadership. I don't even know what you're talking about. So I was going to a church called East Hills Community Church. It's a church down in Riverside. And the pastor and I were I know very, very well. His name was Craig Gilbert. And I went to Craig. I said, Craig, something's telling me inside to start a church. And he goes, all right, get in my car. We're going to take a drive. I said, okay. So he took a drive, and he went down this. He came to Paris. And he took me to the top of the hill over there at the eastern end of Paris. I can't remember the name of that school. I think it's Landmark Middle School, one of the schools. But it's an area where that if you get out of your car and you look out, all you see is homes. It's just a beautiful panoramic view of the Paris Valley, May Ranch, and Avalon Ranch. And he looked at me and he says, you see all those homes? I said, yeah, this actually looks pretty nice, you know? It's about 15,000 homes. He asked me the question. He goes, how many churches do you think are in that community? And I said, I have no idea. What, 3, 4, 5? I have no idea. He said, there's none. There's not one church. He says, what do you think? And when he said that, something happened. Something happened inside me. He says, yeah, there needs to be a church in that area. I need to plant in the Paris area. Well, when I went back and I told the leaders and the elders at East Hills that I wanted to plant a church in Paris, they all laughed at me. They said, you have to be kidding me. You got to remember, 2010, 2011 was the time of the recession. It was a terrible time. I know how bad it was in Paris because I'm the one that sold a lot of the land for the residential development in Paris. The homes back in 2002 and 3 were going for $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. In 2010 and 11, the homes in Paris in that May Ranch area was going for $100,000. So you would drive around these communities and all you would see is barred up homes, foreclosures, evictions, people not being able to afford it because they bought high and the recession basically killed them. So this area that we're talking about here was lost. There was an unchurched area. There was no money. There was people that were just depressed. And when people would come into this area, they would look at it as a stepping stone to go somewhere else type thing. So when I went to East Hills and said, yeah, that's what I want to plant. I want to plant in that area. They said, well, good luck to you. We're not going to support you. I said, okay, no problem. I went to my 5 Bible studies. And I said, listen, guys, in my 5 Bible studies, I probably had about 80 to 85 people within all 5 combined. And I said, how many of you would join me? Help me to start a church in Paris. Well, I was blessed that 25 people decided that they wanted to start with me to start in leadership and help me grow a brand new church plant in Paris. And on September 18, 2011, we had our first service at May Ranch Elementary School in Paris, and it was awesome. We had 185 people, and I'm thinking, wow, this was easy. But I'm thinking, gosh, man, figured next week would be 300. I'll be harvesting in about a year. So I'm thinking, this is great. Everything's wonderful. So for the first 2 to 3 months, things were just going great. Things were just, you know, we were putting things together. We were sending flyers out. Everything was great. I asked the people from my Bible studies, please give me 90 days. 90 days to at least get the foundation of the church started. And then after that, if you need to go back to your own churches, that's up to you. But I knew these people. I said, there's no way they would leave me. They're going to stick with me and have this church continue to grow for the long term. Well, at the end of December, which was the 3 months, January 1st, all the people that I had on my team decided to leave and went back to their church. So on January 1st, 2012, I was left with 3 people from that vision plan team, my family, and about 8 to 10 people in the church. We had no money, we had no people, and the area was still very, very depressed. And I'm looking around this thing. I said, well, God, I guess you wanted me to plant a church for 3 months. That's about all we're going to get. And I can't answer you right now why we're still there, except for one reason, and it's the grace of God. I have no idea. There's nothing I've done. There's no magic. It was all the grace of God because we are still there 3.5 years later. Now we have more people in the seats than we had before, and now we've been blessed by God, and it's all because of what God has done. So people have asked me, why do you want to be a church planner? Are you kidding me? That's got to be one of the toughest jobs. You're right. I've owned my own businesses for many years, and there's nothing I've ever done that's been more difficult than trying to start a church from scratch. Because you know what? You're in control of nothing. It's all God, and it's all what God brings. And you need to trust God completely with everything. And you know what? God delivers. God is faithful to those that trust in him. So I want to be a church plant because I want to see how God's going to work inside of me and the people that he brings around me. And I've seen it so many times. It is such a blessing when you go to a church that has unchurched people. I mean, I'm telling you, when we first started our church services in 2012, there wasn't any that were actually saved. None. Very, very few. But the blessings of that is that we've had over 60 baptisms in 3 years because God has worked in these lives of these people. There's hope now in these people, and God is continuing to work through these people. So I'll tell you this. I look back in that time and going, wow, Lord, I don't know why you would use a person like me to do this amazing work, but he has. And now he's giving us another opportunity today in 2015 to go even more forward in regard to his plan when it comes to reflections. But you know what? You may have came here this morning and you may be thinking, you know what? What's going on here? You know, I mean, you guys have a beautiful church here in Nuevo. I'm going to tell you, this is the second time I've been here in the service. And it's beautiful. You've got a nice sanctuary here. You've got a nice area next door. The offices and stuff like that. You got a beautiful children's area underneath. Great gathering room for, you know, events and youth group on the across the street. You've got so much wonderful stuff. You've done so many wonderful things. And you also got a nice piece of land, I hear, you know, right down the street. So why? Why would you even want to consider being a part of a small, insignificant church called Reflections in Paris? Why would you want to care about a church in Paris? You know, we always seem to be talking about we need to be kingdom-minded. We need to be witnesses to other communities. But you might be thinking out there this morning, why can't we just continue to do what we're doing and stop worrying about Paris or Romoland or San Jacinto or any of these other communities? You know what? If you're thinking that this morning, don't feel bad. Because the majority of mature believers, Christian mature believers, feel exactly the same way that you would. It's very common in churches and denominations not to be excited about going outside their comfort zone in order to help churches in the other outer areas. Why do you need to rock the boat when you're on a nice, easy, steady course? You know, you've got ministries in place. I've read your little program. You've got ministries in place. You've got things going on. You've got men's retreats. You've got dinners with salmon. Are you kidding me? I don't even know. We don't even know what salmon is in Paris. You've got all these things. Why would you want to go and do anything outside what you're doing? Well, I'm going to help you with that because I'm going to give you three reasons. First reason why you need to witness to others and why you should want to expand the kingdom of God outside your comfort zone is because God, our master, commands it. God, our master, commands it. God is our master. God is our leader. And he commands us to have that servant's mentality, to live outside our comfort zone in this world. Now, I'm going to have you take a look at a couple of verses that I know you all probably know by memory. But it has a little bit of a different aspect to it this morning. Turn with me, please, to Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Steve mentioned a little bit about this in his introduction, but I want to just kind of profound on it just a little bit more. Acts 1, verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Folks, God commands that we will be his witnesses to around this earth. And guess what? It starts here. It starts here in the city of Nuevo. Nuevo is your Jerusalem. Nuevo is your Judea. But then it needs to expand to the neighboring cities around here, like Paris or Moreno Valley. That would be your Samaria that we're talking about in that verse. And then, of course, the next step would be to take it to the outer areas of this world. Folks, that's what it means to be kingdom-minded. That's what it means to have a heart for those lost in this world. This is not a suggestion. God just says, hey, if you feel like it, help a poor church in Paris. He's not saying that. It's a command in his word, because the boundaries of God's church is truly endless. If you turn with me to Mark 16:15. Again, another verse you probably know by memory. It goes like this. Jesus said to them, go unto the world and preach the good news to all creation. And we know what that good news is. That good news is that gospel message. And you and I are commanded to go. God doesn't want us to stand idle. He doesn't want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be continuously convicted. God wants you and I to go. It doesn't say there, well, let's just send Steve and Dan and the pastors and the ministries, let's send them out and be kingdom-minded. It doesn't say that. It says that we all need to be kingdom. We all need to go and spread the true gospel message to those in need. And you know what? Our perfect model for this is Jesus himself. You know, when Jesus was on this earth for 3 years, you didn't see Jesus just sitting in Jerusalem, close to the temple, just talking to the people there. Jesus went up and down Israel, went up Galilee, down towards the Gaza Strip. He went up and down continuously, spreading the good news of what God's all about, healing the sick, providing for those in need. Jesus is our model of what this verse is all about. He broke down every barrier in being what is called being service-minded. And you and I, we need to be that reflection of Christ. And then, of course, the last verse, again, that Steve reiterated too, is Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Two verses that you guys have all heard many times, but somehow it resonates with me. And it just makes, I feel these two verses in my heart. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Our master, our leader, Jesus Christ, is giving our marching orders in these verses. We must go out and witness to the world, teaching people about the love of God. And guess what, folks? That starts with us here, the people here in Nuevo and the surrounding areas around here. Folks, this is our edict. This is what God wants you and I to do. And it does. God is not speaking here in riddles. God's not saying this in parables. God wants us to be a light here first in Nuevo, but then expanding that light to other areas in these communities. And you know what's so awesome about this? God will equip you and I to do what he wants us to do for his kingdom. Folks, I got to be honest with you. The last person who should have ever started a church in Paris is me. I had no idea what I was doing. You know the only reason why I know how to start a church today? And that's what my goal is, to be a church planner. I want to go to different communities. I want to be that light. And the only reason I know how to do that is because I did it all wrong the first time. I know how to do it right now. Because God used a man here that has no idea what he was doing, and he equipped me with everything I needed in order to make a church in Reflections and continuously have it running as it is now. Folks, you can be a part of this plan, this dream of what we have, in order to be able to build other church plants or other areas in building up Jesus Christ to communities that don't know who Jesus is. Your support of a young church in Paris is obeying what God commands. And then the second reason why we need to expand the kingdom of God to surrounding cities is because your Christian love demands it. Your Christian love demands it. When you and I surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, you were given the title of a Christian. Now, a Christian means in Christ or a follower of Christ. That means that you and I, we strive daily to be a reflection of Jesus to everyone we meet. And you know, to be that reflection, it's all about love. Turn with me, please, to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7, says this: Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is all about love. And as Christians, the love of God that we currently have in our hearts demands to have that same love for other people. Let me help you with this with a short story. Let's say that you are going to a meeting at Starbucks, like Steve and I do quite often. But in the corner of your eye, you see a young woman sitting by herself in the corner, drinking a water, crying her eyes out. Now, you walk over and you want to make sure that she's doing okay. She starts out by telling you that she just broke up with her live-in boyfriend in Paris. She has no job, she has no money, and she has no hope. And she just can't stop crying. You ask her about her faith, and she says, yeah, way back when I was a child, my grandmother took me to church, but I kind of gave up on God when I became a teenager. This girl is in complete need of the light of Jesus Christ. She needs to hear the gospel message. So, what do you do? Do you say, I'll pray for you, you know, like we all say, and then just walk away and go about your business? Or do you think, wait a minute, she lives in Paris. There's other churches in Paris that can help her out. So I'll stay a couple more minutes, help her out a little bit, pray with her, and then I'll go about my own business. Or do you think, wow, something is burning inside of me. I just need to bring the hope of Jesus to this young woman. Do you have that burning love in your heart for the lost? Our Christian love demands that, because we are those, we at one point in our lives needed that same love, and it was given to us. It was presented to us in the gospel message. And our goal is to be that same light to others as it was given to us. And it doesn't matter where a person lives. It doesn't matter what church place they would go to. It all matters that you have that Christian love that burns inside for those people in need. You know, I love 2 Peter 3:9, one of my favorite verses of all time. 2 Peter 3:9, please turn with me on that. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Folks, we have to have that attitude in our heart. We don't want anyone to not come to repentance. We want everyone to hear the gospel message and be able to see the light of Jesus within us. You know, I sometimes think about this because my wife does this a lot. You know, my wife's the one that, she likes to cry during movies. I don't know, some of you ladies may do the same thing. But it's interesting, especially The Notebook. You know, have you guys seen The Notebook? Never seen The Notebook, but my gosh, every time she sees it, man, I need to buy a new set of tissues. But anyway, but it's funny how she always cries at a movie, a very, very sad movie. And then I think about men. You know, men get very, very emotional with their sporting teams. You know what? I'll tell you this. I almost lost my voice when the Lakers won the championship a few years back. Now, I'm the one crying about the Lakers today, but that's beside the point. But it's interesting how we can get so emotional. We can get so attached with the things of this world, but we don't have that same emotion for the things that God wants from us. We don't have that same emotion for those that are lost. So the question you need to ask yourself this morning is, how do you feel about the lost and the struggling, not only here in Nuevo, but the surrounding areas around here? Is your love for others in other towns strong, truly in your heart? Folks, that's what Christian love is all about. When we have God in our hearts, burning inside of us, our Christian love demands us to have this service type mentality and being kingdom minded for all people to be saved, just like 2 Peter says. Folks, it is truly being in Christ or followers of Christ. And think about it, your support of a church that you don't even know and you probably never heard of until you walked in here today will show your Christian love for God's people. And the final reason why we have to have a service mentality and we need to think and live outside our comfort zone is because transformation makes it instinctive. Transformation makes it instinctive. Now, I know there's a couple big words in there, but the word instinctive means an act that is done without conscience, without thought, or without a decision. It's a spontaneous act. You don't have to think to breathe, right? You just do it. Men, you don't have to think to eat. You just go and do it when you're hungry. It's things that you do based on just instinctiveness. That's what it's like when you have a transformed heart in the light of Christ. You can't help but want to spread Jesus to everyone you know. It becomes part of your nature. It's just like breathing and talking. You serve God through others without knowing, without even thinking about it, because talking about Jesus just becomes so natural to you. You know, I love the scene at Palm Sunday. You guys probably remember the verses here on Palm Sunday. You know, it was during the time that Jesus was on a donkey. He was walking down an aisle similar to this. And there were people on both sides. And they were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Praise be to glory to God in the highest." And people were just shouting praises to Jesus, throwing down their cloaks and palm branches. This was in Luke 19:39. But look what it says. If you want to turn with me to Luke 19:39, some of the Pharisees said in the crowd, said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And I'm telling you, I always smile when I read the response of Jesus in verse 40. Jesus says to them, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Folks, that's a picture of transformation. You can't help yourself. You just love Jesus so much. You just feel God in your heart burning, that transformation wants you to want to do whatever it takes to support those that don't know Christ, that don't have that same feeling you do of what the light of God is all about. You are so consumed by the Holy Spirit that your life is centered on God and you want salvation to all people. You know what? You may become just like Mike. I'm not talking about Michael Jordan, but just like Mike. You know, there's a guy by the name of Gary Thomas, and he wrote this book called Authentic Faith. And it describes a friend of his, and his friend's name was Mike. He met Mike when he was in college many, many years ago. Now, Mike, he was a leader in all among students. He had it all. He had a contagious personality. Everyone wanted to be around Mike. He had athletic abilities that athletes dreamed about. He had great looks that every woman wanted to have. He had natural appeal. He had charisma. He had a personality that just lit up a room. Everybody wanted to hang out with Mike. Everyone wanted to be Mike. This is not a story about Steve. Okay, no. But a few years after college, Mike suffered a devastating brain hemorrhage. And as a result of the many surgeries and treatments, he lost everything. He lost his handsome good looks. His voice was now slurred. He lost his charisma. He lost his charm. He couldn't do sports. He lost all his athletic abilities. Everything that other people admired about Mike and loved about Mike was completely taken away from him. He was now a completely different man. Well, this treatment he went through required grueling months worth of therapy. But eventually in time, he was able to function like a human being again. But the devastating effect on his body was paralleled by a complete change in his spirit. He still had that nice smile that attracted people, but no longer it was focused on himself. He was now completely focused on God. Even when he was going through this therapy, painful, painful therapy, all Mike wanted to do was to make people smile. All he wanted to do is talk to them about Jesus. Every time he talked about Christ, his face would just light up. And he was excited, and he would just be passionate about the Lord. Mike's life was now centered on Christ, and he could not contain himself of the love and enthusiasm he had for God. Gary Thomas, at the end of this book, summarized it like this. You know, in college, when I was around Mike, I wanted to be like Mike. But today, after spending time with Mike, I want to be like Jesus. That's what transformation of the heart is all about. It's about loving so people so much. It's like having that burning desire so big that you just have to tell people about Jesus. When people see you, they want to be with Jesus. Having a heart for the lost souls in this world is a byproduct of our faith. I don't understand it, and I never will, why God, in his infinite wisdom, would use people like me, and even people like you, to do his work of spreading the gospel message. It seems like there would have been an easier way to do it. I guess I understand it better, though, because it's not about you doing the work. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit doing it through you. It's the Holy Spirit that guides your words and your actions. And folks, if you and I don't do it, then how will the people in Paris or Moreno Valley or Romoland be able to hear about Jesus? Here's a couple of verses that I want you to really, if you highlight verses in your Bible, please highlight. This is Romans 10, 14 and 15. Romans 10, 14 and 15. I'm going to be reading it from the New Living Translation. Romans 10, 14 to 15 says this: "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, 'How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.'" Oh, I love that verse. You know why? You and I, we're those feet. We are those beautiful feet that's going to bring good news as witnesses to servant and having that servant's attitude about Jesus, not only here to Nuevo and your life groups and your Olive Grove groups, but also to areas outside this city. So I'm going to go back to my original question, folks. Why do the leaders at Olive Grove, why do they continue to stress about being kingdom-minded and being witnesses to other communities? God, our master, he commands it in his word. And if you and I have truly surrendered our lives to Christ, then our Christian love demands it from us. It's like if you had a cure for cancer, or if you had the cure for an HIV or any deadly virus. If you knew the cure, you would be telling people from rooftops everything about it so that they could be physically healed. Folks, you have the cure for eternal life, and it's called Jesus. And there are many, many communities in the Paris area that don't know that cure. You and I are those beautiful feet that can spread that word into that area. Our Christian love requires us to have a heart for the lost souls. And we would want to see people in not only the city here in Nuevo, but also adjacent cities to be saved. And guess what? You guys, 2015, have that opportunity to play a large part in God's plan of growing or starting church in Paris. Lastly, I need to be excited. I want you to be excited about spreading the good news in other areas. And I think it's because your complete transformation makes it instinctive. It's just like talking and breathing, folks. Being excited and motivated for God becomes so natural when you are a child of God. You know, guys, if you're sports fans, it's like talking about your favorite sports team. If you're a car buff, talking about cars. You could talk about it for hours and hours and hours, right? Ladies, if you're into shopping, styles, you could talk about your shoes for hours and hours. Trust me, my wife does. You could talk about clothes. It's things that excite you. What about Jesus? Do you have that same excitement, that same enthusiasm when it comes to God? Jesus needs to be the most important things in our lives, and we need to be itching to tell people about him. And guys, gals, God is giving us an amazing opportunity to do his work, not only in this community, but in the community next to you. And he has chosen this wonderful church to be a part of his plan. So I'm asking you to let's go forward in faith, and let's bring Jesus to these neighborhoods, starting at Reflections in Paris. You know what, folks? God is great all the time. What an awesome God we serve. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you so much for the awesome responsibility of being able to be your witnesses to the world. Lord, it would be scary if we were completely on our own doing this. But Lord, you have given us everything we need to be successful. Lord, we need to be witnesses for you because you command it in our word. And we need to live life, our lives, in complete obedience to you. Thank you, Lord, for this church, Olive Grove. Bless this church, Lord, in considering taking this leap of faith in helping a church in Paris called Reflections. Lord, we don't have the details. I don't have the details. Steve does. None of us have all the details. And we definitely don't have any answers. But Lord, we trust in the one who does. Lord, we love you. And it's an honor to call you Master, Leader, and our Father. We worship you, Lord. We give you all the glory today and every day. And we praise you in the precious and incomparable name of Jesus. Amen.